Today on our Tech for Business podcast, we're joined by Andrew, our customer strategy advisor, to discuss agentic AI. Am I saying that right?
Yes. Yeah. It sounds weird when you first say it, but yeah.
It totally sounds weird, but yes, agents. And we've heard there's other terms like gems, co-pilots, all these different things. So we're going to use the term agents today. So Andrew, for our listeners, can you explain what agents are and sort of how it's different from other AI?
Yeah. So agents are kind of a subset of what generative AI or proactive AI is. If you think about Copilot or ChatGPT right out of the box, you can get what information you want out of it. The point of agents is to have more of a specific task, to have more of a directed insight to those answers that you're hoping to get from the AI itself. A really great example for fun is if you're familiar with Dungeons and Dragons, that people have created a specific Dungeons and Dragons GPT for ChatGPT, where you can go in and it provides you a prompt of, hey, what kind of world would you like? What kind of character would you like? How would you like me to tell you the story? So it gives you a couple of those prompts to start with, and then it provides you the world for that environment. And you can kind of think about it here where it's, you need to generate a report. Okay, what are you looking for in that report? How would you like that report presented to you? Are there any graphics that you would like? So being able to have a more specific task of that AI instead of, you know, more, you know, the chat call and response of what we think about with Copilot or ChatGPT.
I heard somebody else, and, you know, totally correct me if this is the wrong way to take it, but Kelsey on a different podcast had mentioned it's kind of like an intern. You know, they have information, they have access to information, they have a specific task, but they have enough free thinking where they can kind of take those next steps. Do you think that's similar?
Yeah. I think a personal assistant is a great way of thinking of some of this specificity that comes with the agentic AI is you can tell it to do certain things that it knows how to do, and it can just do them. And that's kind of, you know, one of the things that it's Gartner, they're a IT service management company, that said by 2029, 80% of some of the basic customer service, most customer service requests or tickets can be resolved with an AI functionality. So, you know, I know CAT has done some piloting with some, but it's password resets. How do I contact the service desk? How do I talk to somebody? You know, how do I access my email? Those kind of things are pretty cut and dry and have that standardized process that an agentic AI would be perfect for, to say, hey, okay, you are a service desk engineer. You know, here is how you would reset a password for Microsoft 365. And you train that agent to perform that task. And then once it goes live, it's able to do that task repeatedly without any human intervention. And so a couple other examples, like the intern, is email triage. It can look at your emails, right? We all have emails, right? That's something that every industry has nowadays is emails, but prioritizing those incoming emails and saying, hey, you know, this person, you know, didn't flag the message, but it seems like it's more important than the other ones. And being able to bring that to the list, drafting responses to some emails, I think is great. And it can also learn from your tone of hey, this is how I normally phrase things. This is how I normally like to present some information. If it's like, I like bullet points. Okay. It can help put that in. So being able to train that a little bit on those emails. And then, auto scheduling tasks or certain things that you can do. So I think an intern or a personal assistant is a great example of how it can be not just a sounding board sometimes or a draft editor when it comes to things, but a true assist you with what your job is.
Definitely. I'm kind of jumping ahead a little bit, but it seems like, we're talking a little bit about the benefits. So maybe let's dive a little bit more into what the benefits of using this type of AI is, giving you back your time to do other things. What are some other benefits that really come with this?
I was going through some of the things, and one of the things people said is you were hired at your position because of the ideas and what you bring to your company, not because how well you answer emails.
So
And that's
good.
right. And that's it's or it's like not because you're great at a task that we all have to do, right? And so having just more time to bring your talents to the company and to think of ideas, to ideate more about processes and say, hey, this is where we can have better efficiency. This is where we could move. Hey, here's this market we haven't thought about moving into. Bring your time up to do that. Even if it's 1 minute per email to give you a free draft, that think about how many emails you answer in a day, and that's quite a bit of time. And you can have that time to bring why the company brought you in and hired you in the first place. So that's just one of the big benefits I see. I think it's also gives some more efficiency in the routine tasks. To say you're generating a spreadsheet every month, or you're pulling information to provide to the sales team about, hey, here's some reports on how you do stuff. Maybe you have to massage that information sometimes. An agent would be able to, potentially be able to take a look at that. We're talking about benefits. AI is fantastic, but it's not always the best idea. It's not always the best solution. So I think also just looking at the problems and saying, like, is this something that an AI could do? Really thinking about that, because it's not always the best. And I kind of try to put that disclaimer whenever talking about AI and agents, like, it isn't a one-all, tool fix everything kind of thing, but it can definitely help with a lot.
For sure. We were talking the other day in a strategic meeting about, here are the tasks we have to do. And we actually went to Copilot, I think, and said just that, what can an agent do and when should we hire someone new? Because there is still that human element that's incredibly important to have and then to use when you're doing business to business or business to consumer. So it seems silly to ask like what industries, because I feel like everybody is going to be using this and everyone, it would be really beneficial to learn about it. But are there anyone that you think should really be getting in on the ground floor? Like they should already be using this new technology.
The biggest one that I've heard about is manufacturing and logistics. Being able to efficiently have the product that you need when sales come in. Let's say you have widgets and you have widget X, and widget X sells great during the summer months. So being able to have that product, that widget X, so you can sell it during the summer months, takes time, takes somebody to look at that and make sure that that's scheduled. And you may not see that unless you're looking at the information. So an agent could help give you insight in saying, hey, did you know your agent X is really selling during the summer? We need to make sure that we stock up in May in order to have those products to ship out when we need to, or finding some efficiencies in the logistics of, hey, if we partner with somebody, we can save XYZ. Or just getting insights in that manufacturing and those processes. Manufacturing is, I think, huge because they're turning out lots of product. And any efficiency within that process is exponential. Is, you save 1 second for one product and you're putting out 10,000 products. That's, a month or a day or whatever that is. That's huge. That's a huge benefit. And being able to just, see the ROI from putting your money into the agent is right there.
Yeah, for sure. I'd like to make sure this conversation is covering all the things you want to cover, but I'm interested in a little bit more practical steps. We want to create the agent, we want to use these tools. Sort of where do we start? Like, yes, I bought in, I want to do it, but I have no idea where to begin.
Yep. And I know I mentioned this in a previous one, but it's kind of the four D's to kind of think about some of the ways to get that insight of where you could do that. And that's difficult, dirty, dull, or dangerous. And so if any of those things apply to something that you're doing, AI may be a good fit to help fit into that. And so that's a great place to start to look at those processes. Some of the other things are like insight generation, kind of talking about that widget and the widget X and how different things can provide you efficiency in that process. Operational efficiencies of, hey, if we change how we do billing this way, we're able to get a certain efficiency. Adding to a product that you already have of as an AI agent, you could say, hey, we can add this, or developing a new product. So just a couple of the other kind of specifics within the four Ds. And then kind of looking at other opportunities is the SWOT analysis. So SWOT is strength, weakness, opportunities, and threats. And looking at where you fall into that as an organization, and using your opportunities and weaknesses for possible goals, and then your strengths and threats to achieve those. Looking at where you benefit. Or where you have strength and where you have weaknesses and those kind of things. One of the examples I have is, a rural bank. They process a lot, they may process a lot of farm loans. And so their strength is in that information that they have. And if they can get an efficiency on processing those farm loans because of the year's data of they have and the return on those loans, they're able to better have that efficiency. So getting that insight and being able to may have a pre-qualification process for some of those loans is where an agent may be able to help with that vetting process.
For sure. This is maybe a little bit into the weeds, but when I think about creating an agent, where do you sort of stop? Like, how many processes are just too much for one agent to do? And when do you do the next agent? And when do you add the person in?
I think part of it is looking at one process is you have a goal, you need to state that goal at the beginning of, here is what our goal is, here is what we want the outcome to be. And understanding, here is our goal, here is our outcome. How efficient is that model going to be when it gives us? Is it 80%? Is it 90%? Is it 99%? Whatever that is, that's in keeping to that throughout the entire process, to understand that, okay, here is what our goal is when we are trying to do this process, and really keeping it as a, stable process and working through that. And hopefully you have the team in the back end, and you're not, as the business leader, you're not having to deal with the, the workflow and the data acquisition and everything else that comes along with creating that agent. But, just to give some understanding about kind of the process. So,
Definitely.
yeah, I think it's, great when it comes to just understanding workflow and having that goal and sticking to it.
I'm jumping all over the place, but you mentioned data.
Yeah.
And for me, that's where I really get stuck because data is the fuel, you know? It's like the gas you put in your car, the agent isn't going to work. It's not going to go without it. So I look at my data and it's so messy. How do I even start? It feels overwhelming just to organize that, let alone hand it over to an AI, you know?
Yeah, gathering and cleaning your data is huge. It's always the garbage in, garbage out. If you have bad data, if you have poorly labeled data, if you have incorrect data, it's going to show in that AI. And so having that process built in and understanding that that takes time. I think the biggest thing about this whole process is it's not going to be like your traditional, here's our idea, here's when we build it, here's our timeline, and we're going to get it done. There's a lot of different benchmarks that need to be hit in order to be successful and have a successful product. And understanding that data cleanup takes time, or data acquisition. There's you can say three different ways of getting data for you. You mentioned the first one, which is private data. You have that data, in the rural farm example for or the rural bank example, they have years and years of the farm loans that they can look at. That is their data. One of the other ways they could do is they could go out and purchase that data from a data broker. Hey, we need some information about farm loans. Okay, let's go out and take a look at, this data broker. They have this information. We can purchase it. We can get it. That data is usually more clean than your personal data, so it takes a little less time to process and clean up. And the other one is open source data. So continuing the rural farm, a lot of those are funded through the FDA. And so being able to say, hey, here's this, report from the FDA. We may need some more cleanup, but at least there's some form of free, to that data. So the cost of the free data, but being able to have that information. So a couple of different ways of getting that, but I think the biggest process after acquiring that data, if it's yours, if it's purchased, or if it's free, is cleaning up and making sure that that data is labeled appropriately, if that is what you need for the model. And then it's accurate.
Definitely. So, especially when we're talking about data, what are some of the big risks and concerns we need to keep top of mind as we journey as a company into using AI and creating these agents?
Yeah, There's a couple, and there are a couple different steps. I think understanding bias in every step of the process, in bias in the data, bias in the training of how, but there's a human who interacts with it, how that human is training that model, and then what the output is providing you. I'm going to keep going back to my rural bank loan
That's good, yeah.
example, right? that rural bank has a lot of data. Let's say 90% of their loans are the farm loans. 10% are personal loans. Those have different returns. Those have different timelines, and using all of that data together may not be appropriate to just have one big model to say, hey, here is what our return on our loans are, because they're not the same. And so understanding where your information is coming from and where there may be holes in that information, and then again in the training, if there's somebody, a human in the middle who, hey, this is how they think about this process. They may be training the model with some bias towards whatever they're thinking, or looking at the output and saying, hey, this is only giving us X, Y. We need X, Y, and Z. Why is it doing that? So, understanding all of the processes throughout and where that bias could be is definitely needed. One of the other things or risks that comes with it is transparency, is how the model is making its choices, and being able to explain that to a customer. If somebody comes in and you have a loan, the loan processor that puts in the information and the agent comes back and goes, yeah, they're not qualified. You're going to have to explain why they're not qualified, most likely. And having that transparency and how the model made that decision is something that needs to be, trained on for the people who are using that agent. So, that's one of the things to look at, risks, all kind of, and concerns when doing that. And then also how the model is trained, if it's from a learned behavior, and one of the great examples is some public AI from some social media sites that is trained on user responses. It had to be pulled down in, I think, less than a day or two, because, as the internet does sometimes, is they trained it inappropriately. And so it was giving inappropriate responses. And that is one of the flaws, right, of AI, and saying, oh, well, that's a learned behavior. And if you're reinforcing that bad behavior, it's going to keep putting out that bad behavior. So understanding where that model is learning from its responses is also important as well. And the risk of, how it learns.
You mentioned transparency, which I think we haven't really covered on another podcast before. So I want to dive a little bit more into that. I mean, what is the importance or necessity of being transparent as a company using AI or using these agents to your customers? I
Yeah,
mean, what are your thoughts?
I think if there is a decision-making portion, as a consumer, I appreciate, hey, this was, assisted by AI. Something like that as a disclaimer to understand that this technology is in there and making some decisions. Just like a chat agent, hey, this is, provided by AI. If it's pulling information, great. But being able to understand how the product works on a big picture. I'm not saying that everybody needs to go through courses and watch YouTube videos and understand, oh, this is how the model's made and everything else that goes along with it. But there's training that comes along just like with any other software, just like with any other service that you may get, is you need to understand if it's making a decision without you, then you should understand how it's making that decision. And it takes a good team that creates the agent and builds that out and continues to train that to help you with understanding the thought process of the AI and how it came up with the response.
Definitely. I think that's super important to highlight. I
And
wanna,
I,
yep.
sorry, go on.
Oh, I was gonna just ask if there was anything else we didn't kind of cover before we get into our closing questions. So anything else you wanna?
Yeah, I think thinking about it as a product, not just a project, is important as well. It's a continuing process of you have the input information, you model it, you train it, you get an output, but then you also take a look at that output. You analyze it, you get it back to the input. And always looking at that initial baseline that you set. If you said, hey, we want our model to be 90% accurate, okay, continuing to look at that AI and run responses to it and making sure that it's still providing that level of accuracy that you initially set is important. The other thing that I'm going to put a caveat on is this isn't a we're going to have a process and we're going to work through and we're going to have this thing at the end. Sometimes it doesn't work. And I think that's something to understand as well, because sometimes you're never able to get that mark of that 90% that you wanted. And it may not be possible. It may not be possible with the available data you have, current technologies, whatever that is that it's not just an investment in a product and you're going to get something at the end. There is more risk when it comes to the product, but also, you need to look at that risk and apply that to what the end product is, if it's successful.
Do you think that evaluation that you're talking about, checking and making sure that it's giving the right output, is that does that feel continuous, or would you set like a quarterly time to check? Like, what does that sort of ongoing maintenance of your agent look like?
Yeah, it depends on the product. And that frequency of being checked. I would always, my thought is if you have an agent and you're working on it, there needs to be some sort of, quarterly whatever check on how it's making those decisions. Somebody who's building out the model will be able to tell you how appropriate that checking is, but there should be a continuing check of making sure you're getting the appropriate responses, that you're hitting that benchmark that you have set from the very beginning.
Definitely. So as we kind of close up here, what is one misconception about agents you'd love to clear up, or AI in general, that you want to clear the air?
I think the biggest thing now is it's not going to take your job. It's going to help you with your job. And starting from the beginning of, it's there as your personal assistant. It's as good as the data that we feed it right now. There's, always stories of, hey, it's doing this or that to whatever. Those are rarities. The consumer products that we have now are not, I'll use a Terminator term, Skynet. It's not the all being going to take over the world kind of product. It's as good as the information you give it right now, and being able to find an efficiency in your workflow is only going to make you better, is only going to make you more efficient and be able to do what you're hired to do.
Yeah, definitely. So, do you have any closing advice for companies that want to get started? They're ready to jump in. Any kind of last minute advice you have?
Yeah, honestly, I would just say be conscious of what you're doing on a day-to-day. Think about, could this be more efficient with an AI in the middle? Do I have one of those 4Ds that I have to do, or somebody has to do that could make their life easier? Get a list of those, just write them down, have a OneNote, have a spreadsheet, have something, and just make a note of them as you go through your day, your week, your month, your year, whatever that is, whatever that process is. Just make a note of it and go, I wonder if this could be more efficient. Bring that to your service provider. If you have a weekly meeting, like I do with most customers, or a monthly meeting, say, hey, I was wondering about this thing that I have to do. Would this be a good candidate for an agent? And we can help provide some insight on what that is and be able to find the appropriate resources.
Perfect. I love it. Well, this is very exciting. I am sure we'll come back to this topic in the future as things develop and change. But thank you so much, Andrew, for joining us today.
Thank you for joining us today. If you enjoyed this topic, please let us know. Like, subscribe, or reach out to us at info@cit-net.com or head out to our website, cit-net.com/podcast. We'll be back next week with an all-new episode.